Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire and with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today anywhere podcasts are found. Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire and with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today anywhere podcasts are found.
And we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, well, Rocket Canada's the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We're getting set for a huge weekend in college football. And one of the featured matchups coming up at 3:30 p.m. Eastern is undefeated 13th-ranked TCU hosting Oklahoma State, who's ranked at number 8 and also undefeated at 5-0. And now joining us is the first-year head coach at TCU, has been around the game for a long time, and that is Coach Sonny Dykes. Coach, appreciate the time. Congratulations on the good start. How you been?
I've been well, thank you. I appreciate it. Guys are playing good, and we're off to a good start.
So this being your first year as the head football coach at TCU, when a new coach comes in, you never know how the transition's going to go. Obviously, you expect to win every game, but is it surprising that so far you guys are off to this 5-0 start?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, there's always a learning curve that takes place when you take over a program, and actually this is the fourth time that I've done this, and you know, first years are usually tough. Just trying to get the players to buy into what you're trying to teach. Sometimes, you know, there's a reason normally jobs are open, and sometimes, you know, there's a little bit of a lack of talent or whatever the case may be, and it takes a while to get the kind of players that you need into the program, and then sometimes it takes a while to get the guys to buy into the culture. And we were very fortunate to have an opportunity to come to TCU where, you know, there were good players, and the buy-in has just been a real pleasant surprise. I think since day one, our players have done exactly what we ask them to do. They've wanted to win. This is a unique group. They really like playing football. They really like practicing. You know, we haven't had very many bad practices. I can only think of one really since we've been here, even going back to spring practice. And so it's an eager group, and they want to do what it takes to be good. And so it's been fun so far. We realize it's early in the season and a lot of games still to play, but we feel like that our guys have done a good job up to this point.
And you know what it's like dealing with 18 to 21, 22-year-olds. You know, not only do you have to trust your players, but they have to trust you. And that's not something that you could teach. It just has to be done by example. So, you know, especially what you guys have done the last 3 weeks, if anyone was doubting, you know, you kind of put those doubts away.
Yeah, and again, it's a credit to our players. You know, we have a great strength and conditioning staff that, you know, led by Coz Kazadi, I think he's one of the best strength and conditioning coaches in all of college football, and he's done a fantastic job of building a culture, you know, that started in the weight room and carried over to the practice field, you know, during spring practice, really carried over summer workouts as well. And then once we started fall camp, we got a couple of weeks in, we felt like we might have a chance to have a pretty good team. And, you know, if we could stay healthy and some of the pieces can come together, and, you know, we've been fortunate that it has so far.
Everyone's important, but the last 3 weeks to take down your old school SMU and then you go up and play Oklahoma and Kansas and take care of both of them, how do you kind of put that 3-week stretch into perspective?
Well, you know, the best thing about it is our guys have gotten better every week. You know, we got off to a fast start against SMU and didn't finish the game like we wanted to and had to hold on. And then we had a pretty good performance against Oklahoma, really from start to finish. I liked our guys' focus better, but we made a bunch of mistakes in that game and felt like we played a much cleaner game last week against Kansas, against a very good football team on the road. And that was the first time that we had trailed in a game, really going back to the Colorado game, the first half. And you know, it's hard to do that on the road. Kansas had a bunch of momentum. You know, we were kind of on our heels a little bit, and our guys did a great job of answering and continuing to do their job and not get on that emotional roller coaster. And, you know, we beat a good Kansas team last week. So I think we passed that test, and now it's on to seeing how we can, you know, deal with success, because sometimes success is harder to deal with than adversity. And I think our guys have done a good job of doing that. We've had two great days of practice on Tuesday and Wednesday so far this week, and guys had a really good Sunday coming off of that tough Saturday game on the road, and so I feel like we're in a good spot.
What is your quarterback? I know he's been around for a while, and he wasn't starting at the beginning of the year. Then Chandler Morris had that injury, but what has Max Duggan really showed you?
Well, just a lot of toughness and leadership. I mean, he's one of those guys that makes everybody on our team better. Everybody believes in Max, and everybody knows he's completely committed to them and the team and TCU football. He's just one of those guys that everybody knows would do anything to win, and I think that rubs off on everybody else and gives our team some toughness and some edge. And, you know, he's really played well. He's made good decisions. He's taken care of the ball. Every single week he gets better and better and plays with more confidence and gets a better understanding of our scheme and how to get the ball to our playmakers. And he's just really starting to come into his own.
TCU head coach Sonny Dykes here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. How has that dynamic been with you, Chandler Morris, and then Max Duggan?
Well, you know, those guys have been great. I think they just want to win, you know. And when we named Chandler the starter at the end of fall camp, you know, Max came in and I just said, hey, look, you're going to get an opportunity at some point. Just be prepared for it. And, you know, he goes, hey, look, I'm disappointed, but I'm going to hang in there. And he did exactly that, and he had his opportunity. And so Chandler feels the same way. You know, I know that that Chandler's dying to play and wants to get out there and help his team win football games, but he's a team-first guy. I mean, he just is. And so that room is a great room to be around. We've got a lot of selfless people in the room, and when you get to coach those kind of people, man, it makes it fun.
Coach, your stud wide receiver, Quinton Johnson, we all saw the game that he just had last week, 14 receptions, 206 yards, the game-winning score. On that game-winning touchdown, it was pretty impressive in the moment, but when you saw it in film, did it just even raise it up a notch?
Yeah, Quinton's a talented guy. You know, we're lucky to have him. He's a big, athletic, fast, really explosive wide receiver. Kind of got an unusual blend of really, really good size and quickness and explosiveness. And so it's a great combination. He's starting to come into his own, starting to play with more confidence. And again, Max and Quinton are starting to get on the same page. So excited to see the work that those guys are going to put out in the field. And you know, I think they are getting more comfortable with each other each and every day.
I was reading a mock draft earlier this morning. That shows you how much of a loser I am, because we're not even close to the draft. But how do you think his game will transition to the next level? Because right now he was the first wide receiver off the board.
You know, I think he's going to be a great pro. I really do. I think he's got the work ethic. He's got the personality. I mean, he really is a very unique guy. Loves football, loves being part of a team, very unselfish. And like I said earlier, just really, really talented. So his best football is still in front of him. I think he's going to end up being a great pro. I really do.
Sonny Dykes here with us. Spencer Sanders, I have a lot of respect for the Oklahoma State quarterback. He's looking like a guy that could be in New York as a Heisman Trophy finalist. You guys have a tough task this weekend. It's going to be a heck of a game. How do you try to slow down the quarterback?
Yeah, you know, Spencer's just a winner. I mean, he's a great player. He's got a great arm. Very, very good runner. You know, he is runs physical, runs hard, really does a nice job of anticipating throws and throwing a ball to a spot. You can tell that he's played a lot of football. And as I said, he really trusts his wide receivers to go get the football and make plays. So he's a great quarterback, certainly. I think the best quarterback that we've played against so far this season, and you know, one of the most productive quarterbacks in a long time in the Big 12. And, you know, he just knows how to win football games and take care of the ball, and Oklahoma State does a great job of their offense. They always are very balanced. They run the ball. They take shots down the field. They also have a really nice screen game and a controlled passing game where they can throw high-percentage throws and complete passes and move the chains. So they're kind of one of those teams that's good at everything.
Yeah, what else jumps off to the page specifically about you? Because you know Mike Gundy always has a good team.
Yeah, just their toughness up front on both the offensive and defensive front, I think, is what stands out to me. And, you know, the game is still won, you know, on the offensive and defensive line every Saturday. And you can see why Oklahoma State's been bowl eligible, I think, 16 consecutive years now. It's because they do a great job recruiting and developing offensive and defensive linemen, and that gives them a chance to win every game they play.
Talking to Sonny Dykes right now, a few more questions to the TCU head coach as they get set for a big matchup this weekend, top 15 matchup, them up against Oklahoma State, 3:30 p.m. Eastern on ABC. This is your fourth go-around as a head coach. What's different about this one for you, Coach?
Well, I think you learn something from all of them. You know, I think that, you know, I'm really fortunate to be someplace where we have great resources. I was able to hire an outstanding coaching staff and bring in some guys who have a ton of experience and understand, you know, how to recruit Texas, have relationships in Texas, you know, have a lot of experience and have had success coaching. So that part of it's been really, really good. And, you know, we just have a ton of support from our administration, really from our chancellor to our athletic director, all the way throughout our administration. It's just been that's been a real pleasant situation to work in. You know, and I think that's what makes this thing so different. I mean, there's been a real commitment to facilities here. You know, we have a beautiful stadium. Our facilities are first rate. We've really invested in nutrition for our student athletes, and you know, I think which has made a big difference for us on the field. You know, we're about to build some brand new facilities as well that I think are going to be state of the art. So, you know, there's a very strong commitment from TCU, and you know, we're lucky to be in the Big 12. It's a great league and has a lot of parity, and I think you know, I think anybody right now can win the league. So it's a great place to be and a lot of fun, and we're enjoying living in Fort Worth, and it couldn't be better right now.
I love that you bring up the state of the conference, because when Oklahoma and Texas announced that they were moving to the SEC, a lot of people thought that the Big 12 was maybe going to fade away, or you're going to have a lot of other schools leave as well. But this conference this year in football, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, you guys, the surprise of Kansas, we saw what Baylor did a year ago. Joe McGuire's done a nice job with Texas Tech. Did you feel like maybe this, some of the teams in the conference, you know, you coming in were a little bit disrespected once they got that news that Oklahoma and Texas were leaving?
Yeah, I'd coached in the league, you know, way back when at Texas Tech from 2000 to 2006. And so had a pretty good idea about the Big 12 and the commitment from the schools in the league. And then obviously had watched, you know, Big 12 football, you know, when I was at SMU the last 4 years. And so, you know, there is just really, really good coaches in this league. I mean, you look around and some of the best and brightest are coaching in this league. I mean, you look at the job, obviously, that Coach Leopold's done at Kansas. You look at what Matt Campbell has done at Iowa State. You look at Kansas State, the kind of program that they have, and then you look, as you said, the momentum that Texas Tech has. You just start looking around the league, and there's a bunch of really, really good football teams and people that are committed to winning at a very high level. And then we're adding some teams that have tremendous potential as well. You know, two from the American, where I was before, in Central Florida and Houston, and both of those teams can recruit at an elite level. They both have very good coaches and are very dedicated to winning. And in Cincinnati, I forgot Cincinnati. And Cincinnati obviously showed all of college football last year what they were capable of getting to the college football playoffs. So, you know, I think the league is going to be really good. BYU has obviously had a lot of success as well. They're going to be some great additions, and some teams are starting to emerge within the league. And so when you look at the 10 members right now, you know, I think it's as competitive as any league in college football.
Do you feel like your team could be a college football playoff team this year? Because you said it, the conference is wide open, and a team that wins this conference this year, depending on how many losses they have, but you would think they'd be in the college football playoff this year.
You know, I don't know. It's early. I mean, I think we certainly have an opportunity. You know, I think that there's a bunch of teams that do. I think there's probably several teams that feel like they've got an opportunity because there is so much parity in the league, and every single game, you know, this Saturday are going to be good football games. They're going to probably come down to the end. I think that, you know, you've got to catch some breaks to have a chance to win the league. You got to stay healthy in some key spots. And there's a lot of things that you have to have a chance to do. But for us, it's just about playing well against Oklahoma State, you know, taking it one game at a time. And honestly, just, you know, try to get one win Saturday and then see where we are, and then try to figure out how to win another one the following Saturday.
Number 13, TCU, going up against number 8, Oklahoma State, this Saturday, 3:30 p.m. Eastern. He's the head football coach at TCU, the Horned Frogs, in Sunny Dykes. Coach, really do appreciate this time. Good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Appreciate Coach Sunny Dykes joining us right there on the Zach Gelb Show. Ryan, I had one big takeaway from that interview, and it really doesn't directly have anything to do with the TCU program. My takeaway is this. And you're going to say, well, how the heck did you get to that takeaway after just talking Big 12 football and talking to the coach of TCU? If Clemson doesn't make the college football playoff this year, I think this season would be more embarrassing than last season. Because last season, the line stunk, the receivers stunk. The quarterback took a step back. There was no creativity on offense. They just didn't have it. They just survived the stretch of Wake Forest and NC State, where now there's confidence again with DJ Uiagalelei. And the remaining schedule is Florida State is having a solid year with Mike Norvell. Dino Babers doing a good job at Syracuse. Notre Dame, kind of like a retooling year with Marcus Freeman. You play Louisville, Miami, bad, and then South Carolina. After surviving Wake Forest and NC State, if Clemson doesn't go undefeated, then shame on them. And the way I got to that and just thought about that was when you look at the college football playoff, I would say that the Big 12 has been better than what people would have thought this year. And the Pac-12 has been awesome this year. But there's a chance we don't have a Big 12 or a Pac-12 school in the college football playoff because eventually you may have the opportunity where the Pac-12 beats up on the Pac-12 and the Big 12 beats up on the Big 12, where the ACC is weak. It's a weak conference. So the way that the Big 12 or Pac-12 may not be in the playoff is like, let's say USC loses a game. Let's say the winner of the Big 12 championship loses a game. You would think, right, the three automatics for the college football playoff this year, Alabama, Georgia, and then whoever wins between Ohio State and Michigan. That leaves one spot left. And if you have one spot left, if Clemson isn't undefeated, then shame on them. Because if you get to a one-loss Clemson team, and then you get to a one-loss Big 12 team or a one-loss Pac-12 team, the Big 12 and Pac-12 team is going to have a better resume just because the conference that the Big 12 and the Pac-12 is this year is just better than what the ACC is.
Without a doubt. And yeah, they should not lose another game. It would be embarrassing if they do. And if they lose a game, barring just absolute chaos for the next 6 weeks, they're on the outside looking in, and it's going to be tough for them to get in because their resume is not as strong as everyone else.
Now, I know we got into it last week about the whole eye test and the committee, and Marco was in agreement with me, Ack was in agreement with me as well, that if Clemson was undefeated, there's no way they don't get in if it comes down to a one-loss Big 12 or a one-loss Pac-12 team. But if it's on a level playing field where it is one loss for Clemson, ACC champs, let's just say, one loss for USC, Pac-12 champs, just throwing out the teams here. And then in the Big 12, who do you want to go with the Big 12? One loss, let's just say. You want to go Oklahoma State?
Sure.
If it's Oklahoma State one loss, the resumes for USC and Oklahoma State will be better. If it's all the same record. And that's the way the Pac-12 and the Big 12 will get in, is they're going to need a loss from the ACC or have Alabama or Georgia drop one before the SEC title game, which I guess is a possibility. Like this weekend, it's a possibility that Alabama could lose to Tennessee. But then if Bama goes into the SEC championship game and they beat Georgia, and Georgia was undefeated going into that game, you know Georgia's still getting in. You know Alabama's going to get in too.
You want to get really, really, really nuts for a quick second?
You know what? Let's get crazy. Go ahead.
Dennis Dodd threw this out today on Writer Than You. I think it's fascinating. Tennessee beats
with
Alabama.
With the great Bill Ryder, obviously.
Yes. Tennessee beats Alabama.
Okay.
Alabama runs the table the rest of the way. They have one loss during the SEC title game.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia beats Tennessee. Tennessee runs the table. They're 11-1, only losses to Georgia with a win over Alabama.
Okay.
Georgia undefeated the Big 12 in the SEC title game, takes on one loss Alabama in the SEC title game. Alabama wins. You have one loss Alabama, one loss Georgia, one loss Tennessee. You could.
So just so I understand the scenario.
I have three teams from the SEC.
Alabama loses to Tennessee this weekend.
Wins out. Wins the SEC.
But they lose to Tennessee. Let me just get to the scenario so I can process this. Because
yeah,
you threw a lot of the plate right there. So Alabama loses to Tennessee this weekend, but then they run the table and they're still in the SEC championship.
And win the SEC title.
And they win the SEC title game.
They are SEC champions this year, one loss to Tennessee this weekend.
And then Tennessee beat Bama, but then you're saying Tennessee loses to Georgia.
Loses to Georgia.
And then Georgia goes into the SEC championship game.
Undefeated.
And then they lose to Alabama.
Correct.
So that would be how many losses for Georgia?
One. So you have 12-1 Alabama, 12-1 Georgia, 11-1 Tennessee. All with impressive resumes, all with...
And Georgia beat
Tennessee.
Tennessee. So Georgia would get in.
I'm saying you could have, I mean, three teams could get in.
No. Oh.
That's what we're trying to get at here. This could be fascinating.
I don't think you would get three teams in because let's just say if you have undefeated Clemson and then you have Ohio State or Michigan undefeated, I think those two teams will get in.
I think the
Tennessee.
Big Ten champ will get in. I would love to see the decision between Clemson and Georgia, Tennessee.
I don't think you would get three teams in from one conference. That's just me.
That would be the scenario where it happened. I'm not rooting for it, but it's an interesting discussion.
It would be a little bit wild. Now, it's a shame, too, that the Big Ten is down. And the reason why I say that is, imagine if you have Ohio State and Michigan in a spot where you could have got both of them in the college football playoff this year. Like, if Ohio State...
And you still could.
Nah, you can't get both in.
And yet Alabama not win the SEC championship or even their own division in 2017 and got in.
But the SEC is so much better than the Big Ten. That's why it happens, why the SEC gets in. The Big Ten's not a good conference this year. What's confusing here?
Nothing's confusing.
Oh.
I'm just thinking.
You're like,
and you have Michigan
you're looking
with a top 10 win over Penn State.
You're looking at me like I had 15,000 heads.
No.
Yeah. No, but it stinks that the Big Ten isn't better if there would maybe be a way that we could make the argument for both Ohio State and Michigan to get in, but it just won't be. This is going to be, this may be, it has potential to be one of the more chaotic arguments for the college football playoff this year. Because there's about like 8 or 9 teams that you look at that you could legitimately see making the college football playoff, and you know two are probably getting in from the SEC. One will get in from the Big Ten. That deciding argument of ACC, Big 12, Pac-12, it's going to be fun to see how that does unfold. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire. And with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions, the Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today anywhere podcasts are found. Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire. And with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions, the Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today anywhere podcasts are found.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. As the dust settles from last week's games, it's time to look at which teams are rising and which are falling.
And there's an interception.
Zach ranks his top 5 NFL and college football teams on this week's edition of Take 5, only on the Zach Gelb Show.
For the first time in a long time, we've had a change of the teams that are in the top 5. For the last few weeks, it's been the same teams in the top 5, just the order of where those teams are in the top 5 have moved around. Welcome in to the 5th spot, Tennessee. Now, for a while I held off on putting 3 teams from the SEC in the top 5, but Tennessee, all they have done is just have impressive win after impressive win,
and they just annihilated LSU this past weekend. They're undefeated. You have the big test of Alabama this upcoming weekend. Hendon Hooker right now looks like he could be a Heisman Trophy finalist, maybe the winner of the Heisman Trophy, but I have finally elevated Tennessee into the top five. They've beaten Florida, they've beaten LSU, and at the time, top 20 Pittsburgh. Because of the resume, Tennessee in at number five. Number four, this team doesn't have the greatest resume in the world, but all they have done so far is win as they should. Now their schedule does pick up in intensity. I know they did beat Iowa going away 2 weeks ago. And then this weekend, they get Penn State at the Big House at noon Eastern. That is Michigan. Michigan last year was an unbelievable team. Won the Big Ten Championship. They beat Ohio State. They got to the College Football Playoff before getting their doors blown off by Georgia. This Michigan offense is better this year than last year. Now, defensively, you don't have Hutchinson, you don't have Ajabo. That's my concern about Michigan. Will their defense in these bigger games, and I do expect them to be undefeated leading into that Ohio State game, will that defense be able to slow down C.J. Stroud like the defense last year for Michigan was able to do? But I do have Michigan at number four. Now, here's where we're getting a little bit crazy. Alabama. They were one last week. I have moved them down to three. Went up against a Texas team where Quinn Ewers got knocked out of the game. Just survived by the skin of their... What does Al Michaels say? The hair of their skinny teeth? I can never say that right now. Since Al Michaels said, by the hair of their skinny teeth. By the hair of their chinny-chin-chin. I don't know why I can never say that right, because we've said the Michaels part every time. That's probably why. But Alabama last week, A&M going back to Haynes King because of the injury to Johnson. They didn't go to Wigman. I know they're playing with the backup quarterback because Bryce Young is hurt. But that game should not have been a four-point game, and they could have lost it at the end if Jimbo Fisher just dialed up a better play call. So the Alabama resume, yes, what they did against Arkansas was impressive, but Arkansas is not the same team as we thought they were a few weeks ago with what's happened the last few weeks. This is a week where Bama, if they take care of Tennessee, they'll move right back up. But I'm curious if Bama's going to give the middle finger to everybody or if Tennessee's going to have what would be a great win for them. And it would not surprise me if Tennessee wins this game by three or if Alabama wins this game by 20. It really wouldn't, because I don't know which Alabama team's going to show up. In at number two, I'm going with Georgia. I know Georgia had that close call against Missouri 2 weeks ago. Georgia's been great. We know that. Every team's allowed to have a close game. But the reason why I put Ohio State in at number one is Ohio State, every team they play, they are just dominating them. And their receivers are great. They probably have the Heisman Trophy winner in C.J. Stroud. And they also haven't had Jackson Smith and Jigba. Sure, Rutgers stinks. Michigan State stinks. Wisconsin just fired their coach. But these games aren't even close. We're talking 52-21, 49-10, 49-20. And they'll roll Iowa coming up next weekend. They're going to roll Penn State, you would think, on October 29th in Happy Valley. They'll take care of Northwestern, Indiana, Maryland. And then it all comes down to Michigan. So for now, I have elevated Ohio State up the board. Hot take, Hickey. In at number five, we have Tennessee. Michigan four, Bama three, Georgia two, Ohio State one. Speak now, forever hold your peace.
Why is USC on the outside looking in?
Because of the resume of Tennessee. The resume of Tennessee is just better than the resume of USC. USC, they could go undefeated. I look at USC. I have a lot of trust for Caleb Williams. Addison's great. We know Lincoln Riley, what he could do as a head coach. But they really haven't been tested yet, and their schedule hasn't been great. Now, this weekend, they play Utah, and this would be typical Pac-12. USC should win the game. But Utah's already, you know what, to their season. And it would be so Pac-12 for Utah to go beat USC this weekend. But for now, the resume is the tiebreaker. Tennessee undefeated, USC undefeated. Tennessee just has the better resume.
What about Clemson?
Similar thing, resume, and I think the offense for Tennessee has consistently been better than the offense for Clemson. Anyone else?
That's it.
Okay. In the NFL, the first three teams are so easy. whatever order you want's fine. But then 4 and 5, it's like, who do you really like? Because there's no one you love, but who do you like? In at number 5, this team's 3-2. They could be 5-0. They had that terrible loss to the Dolphins. They're up 35-14. They had that terrible loss to the Bills, and they're up 20-3, both at home. I'm going with Baltimore. I think Baltimore's better than 3-2. Their defense is a little bit concerning. Lamar Jackson has been great. But that's a team that, even though there's some 4-1 teams, you may say, oh, why aren't they in the conversation here? I just look at that team at 3-2, and I feel like, at worst, they should be 4-1. Dallas at 4. You win back-to-back-to-back games without Dak Prescott. 4 straight games without Dak Prescott. I know that Cooper Rush has not been great, but he hasn't turned over the football. He hasn't messed anything up. That defense has been great with Micah Parsons. And they've been running the football. That 1-2 punch with Tony Pollard and then also Zeke Elliott has been good enough. And I know everyone loves to slam Mike McCarthy, and he's low-hanging fruit. But he's done a good job the last 4 weeks. So I put the Cowboys in at number 4. 3, Kansas City. Come from behind up against the Raiders. They still show you, as long as number 15's behind center, man, they're going to be a tough out. And they're in at 4-1. They're only lost somehow, kicking, why they lost to the Indianapolis Colts. Number 2, just a dominant performance. I know it's the Steelers, but Gabe Davis, Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, that Buffalo team, I think they're going to beat the Chiefs this week, and I really do. I don't see a major flaw with that team. The only little flaw is that they may ask Josh Allen to do too much, and you finally have to get some more production out of that run game. But Buffalo's in it too, and then number 1, the lone undefeated team left in the NFL. Had to win a close one this weekend. They got up by 2 touchdowns. Then they started to go away a little bit, but they did survive, so they're still undefeated. That's why they're in the 1 spot. That's the Eagles. So Ravens 5, Cowboys 4, Chiefs 3, Buffalo 2, and the Fly Eagles Fly, the Philadelphia Eagles in at number 1. Hot take, Hickey, speak now, forever hold your peace.
What about the Vikings?
So you know I said the Ravens are 3-2, and I feel like they should be better than 3-2. The Vikings are 4-1, and I feel like they should be worse than 4-1. They have a lot of games where they start quick, and then at the end, they hold on by the hair of their chinny chin chin. And they're against some bad teams. Like, you look at that Bears game, the Bears should have never taken a 1-point lead. Against Detroit, it was the reverse. They got off to a slow start, then had to pull it out. Those are not good football teams with the Bears and the Lions. So I got to see. I do think the Vikings are making playoffs. I said that before the year. And I know that they crushed the Packers early in the year, but the Packers have flaws. I got to see a little bit more consistency throughout the game from Minnesota before I put them in the top 5.
What about the 4-1 Giants coming off their nice win over the Packers?
Great win up against the Packers. I think the Giants could make the playoffs because it may only take 9 wins in the NFC and their schedule is easy. It's just tough for me to be all in on the Giants right now because of the talent on that roster and the lack of it. So that's why I'm just out on the Giants, even though they are 4-1.
And what about the 49ers?
They're trending in the right direction. They are. And that defense has been great. You take a glance at Jimmy G, as long as he could just be serviceable, you know he could win games in this league. I said it yesterday. I think they're going to win the division. But when you lose to the Broncos a few weeks ago, that's a tiebreaker. That's what prevents me from putting in the top 5 for right now. Anyone else? Are you good?
That is it.
All right. So take 5 in college football: Tennessee, Michigan, Bama, Georgia, Ohio State 5-1, in the NFL, Ravens, Cowboys, Chiefs, Buffalo, and the Eagles 5-1 as well.
Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire and with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions. The Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit. Grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today, anywhere podcasts are found. Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire. And with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions, the Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today anywhere podcasts are found.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
You can think of Riley Auto Parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. So as you know by now, earlier in the week on Monday, the Carolina Panthers elected after 2+ years to say goodbye to Matt Rhule as their head football coach. For Matt, you're going to assume that he's either returning to college this upcoming year, or maybe he takes a year off and then, after sitting out a year, maybe being selective, waiting for better jobs to open up. Because if you're Matt, who is a phenomenal college coach, turnaround Temple, turnaround Baylor, the only job or two right now that I think would intrigue me would be Wisconsin. I do believe, though, unless if something out of right field happens, that Wisconsin's going to go to Jim Leonard, and then maybe it is Nebraska, where Nebraska would kind of fall in line of one of those jobs that Matt's a program builder, and you've seen what he's done at Temple and what he did, more importantly, at Baylor, especially in those circumstances where you could see him having a lot of success, you know, in reason at a Big Ten school like a Nebraska. But if it's not Wisconsin, if it's not Nebraska, and I don't think he's going to Georgia Tech, I don't think he's also going to Arizona State, where, if you know, he's done an interesting kind of philosophy or approach in taking these jobs. Like, he was offered the Oregon job, and he elected to go to Baylor. Now, it worked. Now, he could have got the Giants job, went to Carolina. So, I would rule out Arizona State, but maybe looks at it, Pac-12. Who knows what the Pac-12 is going to look like a few years from now? And that's a program that's basically down and out. And I had a few top 25 wins under Herm Edwards. And you'll have more, you'll get more patience there than maybe at a job that's in more of the spotlight, like a Nebraska or like a Wisconsin. But other than that, the only other job I can think of is Auburn. And if this is going to be a guy that is being called one of the top candidates, or maybe the top candidate in the coaching carousel, especially when you have all that money coming to you from Carolina, $40 million, and then it will eventually offset with whatever college deal he does sign, I would think if he doesn't love a job this offseason, then there's really no harm in taking a year out. You recharge the batteries. You kind of reassess a few things. And then monster jobs could potentially open up a year from now. Like last year, there was just a wave of so many big jobs that were open. LSU, Oklahoma, USC, Notre Dame. So there will be jobs open, but it's not like there's a bevy of big, big jobs that are going to be open. And if you look at last year being LSU, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, USC being some of the jobs open, yeah, that's a more rich field, or a richer field than Auburn, Nebraska, Wisconsin. So maybe you just wait naturally where other bigger jobs get impatient with the guys they have, or other guys move around, and then the right job opens up a year from now. So that's the Matt side of it. But like Ryan, do you, other than Nebraska, Wisconsin, like if Wisconsin doesn't go to Jim Leiter, if I'm Matt Rhule, I'm pouncing on Wisconsin. I could see him at Nebraska. And then you look at Auburn, that's probably it. Like, is there any other job that could potentially open up that's a big job in college football this year?
Open up.
Maybe Michigan if Harbaugh goes back to the NFL.
Right. Like, that's contingent on him leaving. Like, I'll be honest. I wonder if a place like Arizona State would be one that's up his alley. Lower expectations, good weather.
You'll get patience.
You will going for, you know, because like sometimes when you are in a situation that's kind of a pressure cooker, you want to go to the opposite. You want to, you know, place this little more, not like Arizona State's not wanting to win, but they're more laid back. You, like I said, he'll get more rope for sure than he had in Carolina.
And also, well, the NFL and college is different.
It is, but
and
you get that.
It's tough to preach patience in the NFL. College, though, like, I was there at Temple. That team was, they were competitive. They were in a lot of games, and they, like, lost all the games. They only won two games. Baylor, he won one game his first year. So the first year, when you're a new college coach coming in, like, even when Dave Aranda took over a very good Baylor team, I know it was different circumstances, but they were bad, and the next year they go out and they win the Big 12. So, like, any new coach that comes in, for the most part, in college football, they tear it down. Like, Marcus Freeman was on the staff at Notre Dame, and this is kind of like a tear it down and you rebuild this year because you have to implement your approach as the guy in the head seat.
If you're Matt too, when you look at a school like Arizona State, do you look at the conference? USC, UCLA, leaving and go to the Big Ten. Conference is wide open. Oregon so far has looked nice. Utah's looked nice. But there's no, let's say, behemoth like if you go to the Big Ten, either Wisconsin or Nebraska. You still have Ohio State to deal with. If Jim Harbaugh stays, you have Michigan to deal with. Penn State's been a team that wins consistently. It's tough.
It's like Big 12 light. What the Pac-12 would be when he was at Baylor. Because Baylor, you still had the top dog of Oklahoma. And Oklahoma was obviously so tough to beat. And you know how that did play out in their two games that year up against Oklahoma. But you look at the Pac-12, there's no team there because USC and UCLA are leaving that. It's like, oh my goodness gracious. They're tough. Yeah, Arizona State's not, it would not be a terrible landing spot. I think he could do better, though, than Arizona State. But for his approach, yeah, I could see him being patient. And like, it would not stun me if he – I would not expect it, but it would not stun me if he lands up at Arizona State. It is the best way that I would say. But anyway, his old job, Carolina. Who could be the next Panthers head coach? I put together a list of like 8 or 10 names. DeMeco Ryans, Sean Payton, Jim Harbaugh. You got to take a run at him. Brian Flores, Shane Steichen, Dan Quinn, Eric Bieniemy, Byron Leftwich, and Mike Kafka. I don't think Sean Payton is going to take the Panthers job because regardless what he says, and I don't think he really sold it on the herd, I don't think that job's attractive right now. Like, you got pieces on the defense. That defense is solid in Carolina. But offensively, is McCaffrey even going to be there? Is DJ Moore going to want out? You don't have a quarterback. That's also why I think Sean wouldn't consider it. Unless, maybe, if they end up picking the top five, which looks likely now, maybe Sean likes one of these college quarterbacks and he wants to hitch his wagon to that quarterback in the draft. But I think there'll be better options for Sean Payton. But if I could just give you three names right now, here would be my three names that I think would be interested, and I think the Panthers would be interested in them as well. DeMeco Ryans, Brian Flores, and then Dan Quinn. Those are the three names. For DeMeco Ryans, young, up-and-coming coach. Brian Flores, established coach. Dan Quinn, established. Like, Dan Quinn, I know it ended ugly. He got a team to a Super Bowl. Brian Flores, he coached that roster better than what the talent they had. The only concern was that relationship or the lack of it with Tua Tagovailoa. If I had to take a guess right now and attach three names to who I think is going to get that job, in the early stages, I would go Dan Quinn, Brian Flores, DeMeco Ryans. Who are your three names there, Hot Take Iggy?
I like the two you threw out there, especially. The thing with Brian Flores is I think you have to make sure he hires the right offensive coordinator.
True, because he had 7,000 in Miami. And also this pending lawsuit with the NFL. I know he's working this year, but does that maybe make the owner say, yeah, you could work on a staff, but we're not going to have you lead the staff?
And I like Jim Harbaugh. I don't know if he's I don't know if he's willing. I don't know if he'll get other offers. I think that's one you should take a run at because now 2 years in a row, you've seen what he's done in Michigan, turned it around, and obviously a great NFL head coach when he's there.
I think Harbaugh would be willing to leave. You just need to give him all the control. And a job like Carolina, they just gave all the control to Matt Rhule the way that we thought. Now people say, oh, don't hire another college coach. Jim Harbaugh's had a lot of success in the NFL. He got to 3 NFC title games and a Super Bowl. I don't think Harbaugh would be interested, but who knows?
Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire. And with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions, the Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today anywhere podcasts are found. Fantasy football leagues are won on the waiver wire. And with trades and with savvy starter sit decisions, the Fantasy Football Today podcast will help you along the way with the best advice on how to manage your team and dominate your league. With 8 episodes per week, Fantasy Football Today is the only resource you'll need. Start sit, grade the trade, fantasy cops to settle your league disputes, and so much more. Check out Fantasy Football Today anywhere podcasts are found.